A reading from Isaiah 42, verses 10 through 20. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praises from the ends of the earth. Sing, all you who sail the seas, all you who live in distant coastlands. Join in the chorus, you desert towns. Let the villages of Kedar rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Shout praises from the mountaintops. Let the whole world glorify the Lord. Let it sing his praise. The Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush all his enemies. He will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself. But now, like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan and pant. I will leave all the mountains and hills and blight all their greenery. I will turn the rivers into dry land and dry up all the pools. I will lead blind Israel down a new path, guiding them along an unfamiliar way. I will brighten the darkness before them and smooth out the road ahead of them. I will indeed do these things. I will not forsake them. But for those who trust in idols and who say, you are our gods, will be turned away in shame. Listen, you who are deaf. Look and see, you blind. Who is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what is right, but refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 16 through 33. In a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that you will see me again. Some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while you won't see me? But then you will see me. And I am going to the Father. But what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. Jesus realized what they wanted to ask him about. They wanted to ask him about it. And he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while you won't see me. But in a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. But the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you in truth, you will ask the Father directly. And he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive. And you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in figures of speech. But soon I will stop speaking figuratively and tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I am not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly, because you love me, and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father. Then his disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything, and there is no need to question you. From this we believe that you came from God. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When you will be scattered, each one of you going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
Thanks, Marie. Well done. That was a long reading, wasn't it?
You might be surprised to hear that I do not know what it is like to give birth to a child. I do not know. Many women out there do, and they know a lot better than I could ever know. So on behalf of most of the men, we can only stand by in awe and try and not feel guilty when we watch this take place. I'm glad. Miriam found that quite interesting, didn't she? Reading out there. Look, I've got a friend Charlie who is a friend of our family, and he was the leader of the YWAM base in Sussex. So he's quite a capable guy, and he was at the birth of his first son, and he was there, and he was trying to comfort his wife, you know, as you do, you holding a hand and so forth, and she was in the throes of labour, and then he passed out. He passed out. So it was Jan who actually started to comfort Charlie, who was unconscious. And they put the oxygen on his face and resuscitated Charlie. And then the nurse said, I think maybe you should go out of the room and have a cup of tea. Look, I've got permission to share this story. I've got three kids, and Ruth has done incredibly well with that. With the birth of Lenny. So Lenny features today a little bit. With the birth of Lenny, Lenny couldn't wait to get out. So she was, 28 weeks? How many weeks? Sorry, 28 days? 6 weeks. 7 weeks early, I was pretty close. She was 7 weeks early. Sorry, there's some pregnant women here, I understand. Just bear with us. She was early, and and it came time for her to be born. And we were in Hong Kong. And so the Chinese hospitals there are very conservative. But it was interesting, the bedside manner of the anaesthetist. Anaesthetists are interesting, aren't they? Anaesthetist came up, rolled Ruth onto her side, and had a junior anaesthetist with him and was training this guy. And he traced his finger down Ruth's spine. And he said, if you would put the needle in here, you will get paralysis. If you put it on the one underneath here, you'll get death. He said, you put it in here. And luckily, Ruth was in too much pain to notice what was being said, but I think I went pretty ashen when I heard this. The point is, giving birth is a serious thing, isn't it? All the women are nodding, and most of the men. Giving birth is a serious thing. It's the same thing with spiritual birth. It's a serious business. And there is pain involved. I think that it's a fallacy you can have a pain-free birth. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry to use that here. It is a fallacy. I mean, you could be unconscious, but I think in the morning you'll know that you've given birth. Or the next day. Despite the developments of modern medicine, I think we still haven't got pain-free births, all right? It's the same with spiritual birth. You cannot have a pain-free spiritual birth because there is a grappling and a wrestling involved with a spiritual birth. And there are a number of priests in the last service who are nodding their heads as I said that. It is a struggle. So that's one of the reasons why we have the sacraments in the church. And I love the Church of England, or Anglican Church, sorry. I love the fact that we have the sacraments. We have baptism and confirmation. They're really important for us because they recognize the importance of that spiritual birth and rebirth. We're reclaiming confirmation here, just so you know, and the youth will be interested in this. This year, we are having an away weekend with Scripture Union, again. And we're taking our young adults from about 12, 13 to up to 19 years of age, we're taking them away to Whakapapa and stay in two lodges with their mums and their dads, their parents or their carers. So the guys will stay in one lodge, which will be the Forest and Bird Lodge, and the others will stay in the Scripture Union Lodge. And we're hoping to have about 30 of us up there with Scripture Union. Scripture Union are amazing. If you love the outdoors, Scripture Union are your thing. They will give you a love for the outdoors and for the Creator. So, pencil that into your diaries, parents and carers, and young adults or youth, because that will be at the last weekend of November, the 29th. For 2 days, we go on up and then come on back. And we'll talk about confirmation, what that involves. You don't have to do it, of course, but it signifies the wrestling of your own faith to make it your own. Does that make sense? So it becomes your own. And the parents recognize that as well. That's really important. Because a lot of time we just get on through, don't we? As Kiwis, we just muck on in and get on through. Without acknowledging important seasons in our lives. So the wrestling and the grappling to make your faith your own is significant. So we come to the passage today. Verse 16, Jesus, we're doing the farewell discourse, important last words to the disciples. Jesus says, slightly cryptically, in a little while you won't see me. And the disciples, as usual, going, what is he talking about? Hoping that he won't overhear them. And of course he does, so he knows what they're saying. And they're sprung again. So Jesus goes on to explain what is going to happen in plain terms. He says in verse 20, you will weep and you will mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, like a birth pain, but your pain will turn to joy. But your pain will turn to joy. It's worth noting that the Jews believe in two ages. They believe in two ages, the present age, which is corrupt, and the golden age to come, which is amazing, is perfect. The time in between is referred to as the time of the Lord, or the time of judgment. And it's a time when the world is shattered, disintegrates, and convulses into fragments. And I think most of us can agree we're in that time now. Yeah, we've been here before, but it's a long period of time when the world is convulsing. We're familiar with the passage from Ecclesiastes, when the stars fall from the sky. That is about the day of the Lord, the travailing of the Lord. Now, it's interesting, that time in between the golden age and the present age, is the Jews referred to as a time of birth and travail. The days of the Messiah, the birth and travail. So listen to the rest of the reading we had today with that in mind. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a new human being into the world. Now, I can't vouch for the truth of that. Can you women vouch for that? I'm glad to hear that, Mickey. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. Jesus is preparing the disciples for what is ahead. It would be remiss of him if he did not. He would not be the good shepherd we see up there in the stained glass window. You could take the good out. If he just let his followers blindly waltz into the crucifixion and resurrection, what sort of shepherd would he be? So he is preparing the ones he loves for what is to come. The gospel is a paradox, and this is one of the beautiful paradoxes that I love paradoxes, because it included in them is incredible truth. The gospel paradox here is that what is old needs to die off. What is old in these disciples needs to die, and that's painful. It needs to die off so that the new can be birthed. So that the new can come. There are seasons in our lives and the church's life where things need to die. There's a time for everything under heaven. Amen?
Amen.
This includes pain and suffering for us. Amen? It's not easy. We're in a stage of life, Ruth and I, where we're empty, almost empty nesters. There's a pain in that, all right, for you parents who are in that situation. Those who've got young children, okay, there's a pain in that. That changes your lives and the way that you conduct your lives. There's a pain in the later years of our lives when we don't have a job anymore. And we need to let go of who we used to be. The titles we used to have. That is painful. So listen on. This is great. If you faithfully endure and go through the birth pangs, or the birth-like pangs of pain, in whatever situation you find yourself in today or tomorrow, with faithful courage, the blessings will be very precious indeed. I'm going to read that again because that's a gospel truth. All right? And a word of encouragement to us all. If you faithfully endure and go through the birth pangs of pain in whatever situation you find yourself in, youth, because you will find it too, all right? You're included in this. If you face those situations with faithful courage in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is with you, the blessings will be very precious indeed. All right, hold on to that. Look, two of the biggest blessings in my life have once been my wife. All right, but that's caused me the most pain as well, in a beautiful kind of way. Just bear with me. No, in a beautiful way. I mean, those of you who don't know, Ruth is a little bit younger than me. By 9 years. And so I knew I wanted to marry her. So I had to wait for her on this side of the world while she was in England, finishing off her studies and deciding what she wanted to do with her life. And she finally saw the light, obviously. But that was 4 years of quite painful waiting for her that I believe God really wanted me to do and travail in. The other waiting time for me was, and it's kind of similar, was when I became a vicar. I had to wait 5 years after first applying to become a vicar in the UK, 5 years before it actually took place. And you remember the story I told 2 Sundays ago about the advocate, the lawyer that represented me in front of that head teacher? That was when I became into training. So that was a really painful, difficult time. And I was faithful in that, but I saw the blessings that came afterwards and the blessings that came from waiting for my lovely wife. So there's a message in there for us. Both are like marriages, and one of the other priests nodded when I was talking about that. Being a vicar is a bit like a marriage. Seriously. To lots of people. But look, did I sit on my thumbs for those 9 years waiting and doing nothing? No, I didn't. I got on with my life. But during that time, God worked with Ruth, what she was doing, and God worked with the church, and the church changed as well, but God also worked in my own life and heart and prepared me for what was ahead, because his timing is perfect. Now, one of the things I took away from that period with the ordination was I remember going to DDO, which is a person who sort of puts you off becoming a vicar, or tries to. And I remember saying, quoting to him a quote, I don't know who said this, but they said, look, the grists of God's mill, okay, the stones that grind together, they grind very slowly, but very, very finely. Okay, the grists of God's mill, as they grind, like grinding flour or wheat, they grind very slowly but very finely. And that was something that very much encouraged me during those times of waiting, and I learnt is very true. Jesus goes on in passage in verse 22, so you will have pain now, but I will see you again, your hearts will rejoice, and this is the good thing, really good thing, no one will take that joy from you. There's a joy that only God can give that no one in this world can take away from you, any of you. There may be a time, and there will come a time, young people, in your lives, when being a Christian sucks. To use an old term. When it sucks. Okay? It may be a time that comes when it looks like being a Christian sucks. I'll say that again. It looks like being a Christian sucks. And it brings nothing but sorrow. While the world offers nothing, or seems to offer nothing but joy. But listen to this. The day comes, however, when this will be reversed. The world's careless joy turns to sorrow, and the Christian's apparent sorrow turns to joy. That is a truth. That is a truth. So from the outside, people look at your situations, young people. If you follow Jesus, if you've got enough guts, because that's what it takes, guts and courage, people will look at you and go, oh, where's your God? Where's your God? But you'll know in your own mind and heart and spirit that your God is there with you in that situation, despite how things appear. Don't care what the world says. Don't care about those judgments that are placed upon you by the world. So where are you now today? Perhaps some of you are like the disciples, totally confused about what Jesus or God is saying or doing in your own circumstances. I know there's people suffering in this congregation, various circumstances, jobs, health. Where are you today? Perhaps you're angry at God. Guys, that's fine. Perhaps, you know, that's fine. The important thing is acknowledging the reality of how you feel about a situation. And I remember feeling incredibly frustrated about those two situations I was talking to you about, because I'm a pretty impatient person. God is big enough and able enough for you to express how you feel to him. After all, he knows how you feel anyway, so why hide it? But come to him and be honest. Now, some of us are doing the emotionally healthy spirituality day by day, which is the daily office. This is the best resource for a theology of suffering I've ever read. All right, if you want a copy of this, just let me know. I'll bring some next week. We've got a whole bunch of them down in the office. We'll make them available for you. Put them in this devotion cupboard on the left-hand side as you go out. I'll put them in there for you to take. But it's amazing. It's very, very good. It's very real. It doesn't tell you what to think. It just allows God to work in your life in a deeper level and acknowledges pain and suffering in the best way that I've encountered in my career. So where are you now today? Maybe your health is a serious concern, or someone close to you, their health is a real worry to you. Perhaps their season is coming when they are passing, and I know there are some people like that in the congregation, this congregation today. Perhaps you need a touch of the comforter in your life. Perhaps you need a touch of the advocate in your life. Is the prayer team here today, the ministry team, prayer ministry team? Whoever's on prayer ministry, can they put up their hands? Oh, Liam's on. Who else is on? And Kathy, lovely. So they'll be down by these lovely candles at the altar here at the end of the service. If you're going through something, come to them and they'll pray for you. Ask for the comforter to come and the advocate to come into your life and your spirit. He's there for you because he is the good shepherd. Lastly, the final bit of the reading today, Jesus tells his disciples something critically important about prayer. Verse 23b, ask anything of the Father in my name and he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. And that's about to change because he's going. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. Why? Because if you go to verse 27, because the Father loves you. He loves you because you love me. And you believe in me. Maybe you don't know the Good Shepherd himself. You don't know the good in Good Shepherd. And we'd like to know this God who's got our backs, who sends the comforter and comforts us when things are tough. Come and ask to be introduced to that Good Shepherd. The prayer ministry team can do that with you, or Ruth or myself, or anyone else in this service, they can introduce you to the Good Shepherd. Because he is good indeed. Amen. Ruth.
Let's have a moment of silence as we ask two questions. What is God saying to me this morning? And what am I going to do about it? And then let's stay seated in a kind of an attitude of prayer as we sing, or maybe just listen to the worship group sing this next song, Mighty to Save. Let's just stay seated as we recognise the loving kindness of our Saviour, who is mighty to save.